Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, May the 16th, 2017. I'm Mike Clifford. On the rundown, the nation buzzing with the revelation that President Trump allegedly revealed highly classified information to the Russians. In Oregon, a utility company suspends permits for natural gas plants, and freelancers now have new protections concerning their pay in New York. Topping our news another day, another explosive allegation. The Washington Post reporting President Trump revealed highly classified information to the Russian foreign minister and ambassador in a White House meeting last week. The Post cites current and former U.S. officials who said Trump's disclosures jeopardized a critical source of intelligence on the Islamic State. The Post added that the partner who had provided the intelligence had not given the U.S. permission to share the material with Russia. Responding for the administration, National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster said he was present when the meeting happened and, quote, "At no time were any intelligence sources or methods discussed, and no military operations were disclosed that were not already known publicly," end quote. Portland General Electric has suspended its efforts to get permits for two natural gas plants, Eric Tegedoff tells us, in part because of their customers' desire for renewable energy.
PGE's coal-fired power plant in Boardman is scheduled to shut down in 2020, and while the company is committing to renewable energy, it also needs an alternative when the coal plant closes. However, Steve Corson, spokesman for PGE, says the technology isn't currently available to rely completely on renewable energy. He says the company is currently weighing its options.
This is a dialogue, and we want to listen to our customers. We want to reflect what our customers want us to do, but we also have that sort of bottom line imperative that we have to provide affordable, reliable power to our customers. And so that can be a delicate balancing act.
The company now is looking at buying energy from existing power plants or potentially buying other plants. Oregon has committed to being powered entirely by renewable energy sources by 2050.
And back on the political beat, during his campaign, President Trump repeatedly alleged massive and widespread voter fraud in the U.S. election system. After his election, he claimed this voter fraud kept him from winning the popular vote. Now, Tim Morrissey has a reaction to the president signing an executive order creating a federal commission to review voter fraud in America.
Jay Heck, executive director of Common Cause in Wisconsin, points to a number of voting experts and lawmakers who say such fraud does not exist. Heck says the commission has a hidden agenda.
Donald Trump and the person that he wants to put in charge of this, a guy by the name of Chris Kobach, who is the Secretary of State of Kansas, they want to make it even more difficult for more people to vote.
While Vice President Pence would chair the commission, Kobach would actually run it. Heck says under Kobach's lead, Kansas has passed some of the most restrictive voting laws in the nation, particularly designed to affect undocumented immigrants.
According to federal court records, nearly 10% of Wisconsin voters, 300,000 people, did not have the strict forms of voter ID required by Wisconsin's new law. In honor of Mother's Day, activists concerned about the impacts of the American Health Care Act planted more than 300 paper flowers Monday outside the offices of Utah's congressional delegation. Eric Galatis has our report.
Kelly Henderson, one of the event's organizers, says each flower has the name of a constituent on the front, and on the back is an account of how the new health care law making its way through Congress would affect them or their families.
People who are afraid for their mother who's a cancer survivor, or their children who were born with heart conditions, or their brother who uses Medicaid and relies on those services and would be hurt by cuts.
The flowers were delivered to representatives in the afternoon. Backers of the bill say people with pre-existing conditions could still get coverage in high-risk pools and claim shifting Medicaid costs to states will allow for more innovative approaches to covering children and low-income residents. According to a national poll released last week, just 21% of voters support the proposed law.
The AHCA cleared the House in early May. 20 Republicans joined all 193 Democrats in opposition. And finally, from New York, Andrea Sears reports freelance workers and independent contractors in the Big Apple now have added protection from people who do not pay.
The Freelance Isn't Free Act went into effect on Monday. More than a million New Yorkers work as freelancers, and according to Caitlin Pierce with the Freelancers Union, more than 70% have been cheated out of pay they've earned at an average of $6,000 a year.
With this law, clients who hire freelancers will have to use a contract, will have to pay within 30 days, and if they pay their freelancers late, then they're going to be facing a host of different types of penalties.
Penalties can include double damages and attorney's fees. The Freelancers Union hopes the law becomes a model for other cities and states around the country. The New York City Department of Consumer Affairs will be assisting freelancers who are having problems getting paid. And as Pierce points out, the definition of freelancer in the law is quite broad.
As long as you're working for yourself and you're a 1099er and you've been doing more than $800 worth of work over the course of 4 months, the law would apply to you.
The Freelancers Union also has launched a new smartphone app to put freelancers in touch with a team of 30 attorneys.
Between 2005 and 2015, the percentage of Americans working in alternative work arrangements increased from 10.1% to almost 16%. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.